So today we get to see the power of the Holy Spirit in action, coming after Jesus ascended to the Father and coming upon all believers. So we're going to connect with this upper room teaching, and Forrest read the passage for us already. But again, we spent over these last few weeks a good amount of time in the passage in the upper room, the night of the Last Supper, when Jesus was just pouring out everything he wanted and needed the disciples to know as they became his apostles, as he went to go be with the Father. And this passage is also from there. So this is before his death and ascension. And he talks about, "I'm going away to the one who sent me, but you're not asking where I'm going." They weren't asking on the significance of his death and where and what that meant that he was leaving, because they could just only see
this
right, their part. They're like, "But you're not going to be with us, and what's that going to be like?" So he's challenging them on that a little bit, but he's saying, he's trying to encourage them. But in fact, it's good that I'm going away, because I'm going to send the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. And so he walks through these series of promises that he wants us, or that he wants them to know. But in fact, so it's verse 7. "It's best for you if I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate won't come. But the promise is, if I go away, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of his sin." And it's not convict like, boom, I'm going to slam you. It's convince, right? It's showing showing his goodness and power, helping to see sin, understand it, and trying to make that turn toward Jesus and his power to help us follow him. And when he comes, he will convict the world of his sin. We talked about that. And of God's righteousness, because Jesus makes us right before God.
Through
his death and resurrection, we have his forgiveness. He gives us grace and makes us right before God. And the coming judgment against Satan and all that is evil. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father. So you won't see me anymore, but this is really good news. And judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. And I love this verse 12. "There's so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. But the Spirit of Truth will come, and he will guide you in all truth." He's not going to speak on his own, but he's going to tell you what he heard from the Father and from him, and he'll tell you about the future. "He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me." And then he just reinforces that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. All that belongs to the Father is mine. It flows through the Spirit. They are connected. They're three persons, God in three persons, but connected in one will, in one unity, in one. So then we're going to jump over to Luke, and we don't have this passage up here, but I want to connect this then. So this is before his death, before he rose from the dead. And then we're going to pick up in Luke 24, after he's risen. He spent 40 days with his disciples, appearing at different points in time, reinforcing things, teaching him. And this is just before he ascends. And he said to them, "When I was with you before he died, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem." There, and this is the message. "There's forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." So it didn't happen right away. They had to wait. Gotta love promise and obedience, right? And then Jesus led them to Bethany, and lifting his hands to heaven, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. So they worshipped him, and they returned to Jerusalem filled with great joy. And that's also captured in Acts 1. So Luke, the author of, this is the Gospel of Luke, is also the author of Acts. And so he picks that up there. So we're gonna pick up now in Acts 2, which is our passage for today. This is 10 days later, 10 days following the ascension, so 50 days following Jesus' resurrection. So here's our passage. So, yeah, they had to wait 10 days. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Waiting, waiting, waiting. He said it's coming. He said it's coming, right? At least it was only 10 days. Eventually, they've come in thousands of years, right? Kind of like now, we're waiting for him to come back. All right, so let's read. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation. There were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. They've been there for Pentecost. They're here, or they've been there for the Passover, for everything that's happened. So there were still people from all over in Jerusalem there for the Pentecost festival. And then when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running. So even though this wind was happening in the room that they were in, it was loud and people could hear it from everywhere. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya and Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in our own language about the wonderful things that God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk, that's all. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. And then he quotes from Joel chapter 2. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red, and before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
So last week we spent some time talking about peacemaking and what that means, like when things start to get contentious. So what's happening in this crowd? Like there are people that are some that are amazed, some that are puzzled, and then some that are like, that's nothing. You know, that what we typically experience, right, in our everyday life. But Peter leaned in, didn't he? And did you see how he stood there? It was Peter and the 11 other apostles. Like, they were there together, and they knew. So if you go back to that John passage that we were in, he said that the Holy Spirit will testify, and you will testify. You will be my witness. You've seen me from the very beginning of my ministry. I am leaving this good news in your hands, right? And so there's this... command for them, right? He commanded them to be able to testify. And then how are they empowered to do it? Do they muster up their own strength? No, they were helped by the Holy Spirit, and that's how the Holy Spirit works in us. So there was, I'm going to kind of back up, walk through the passage a little bit. So the huge sound, this mighty wind, and the other people came and they heard it. And then they heard the people speaking other languages. So does this echo another passage for you, like in the Old Testament, the language thing?
Yeah, when they were trying to build the temple.
The Tower of Babel. And God brought those languages that confused them because they were seeking power. In this case, it's bringing clarity because there are people from all nations all over there, all those different languages, that would hear the good news in their own language to be able to know that when they leave to be able to take that back with them. So how cool to see God take that and use that in such a beautiful and unifying way. Not as it was dividing in the time of sin when all that was going on way back in. I'm sure it was Genesis, right? It definitely was.
It was Genesis.
So, do you remember what it said that they were saying? What our passage said that that they were saying, what they were hearing? They were hearing, they were sharing the good news, the good news of Jesus and all he had done, and that forgiveness is available for them, so that they know that through Jesus' death and resurrection, that they are forgiven, that the Old Testament has been fulfilled in Jesus, and there is a new covenant now. And of course, there's the crowd response, but some of them were absolutely in awe. They're like, listen to this. How is this happening? And we think about times that we experience awe. We've had some opportunities, actually quite a few recently. You go all the way back to the ice storms, even though there was all the destruction around it, just with the beautiful ice on the trees and the way the sun would come in, how pretty that was. Mm-hmm. And then there was the eclipse that we saw recently. I know some in this room actually experienced totality, but even what we were able to see near our home in Falmouth was amazing. So when you think about, and then the Northern Lights, don't forget the Northern Lights, right? A week ago, where not only here, but you could see it in so many places, and you just in those moments when you stop and you see, wow, God, look at your creation. Mm. Like when you see his power in nature and stuff too. And there were some that were in awe, some that were being dismissive, and Peter just leaned in with courage. He still had to walk forward in obedience, like the Holy Spirit did, like make him like a little puppet and make him just go. He still had to be willing to take that step forward to open his mouth and speak. Mm-hmm. But he was given that empowerment and that courage to do what Jesus had said that they needed to do. We might spend another week in this passage, because the next part of the passage, he then goes on to help them understand even more. So we may or may not do that. There's not time to do 47 verses on top of the other ones that we already did today. But no, there were only 21. I'm like, why do we stop here? But it gives us this glimpse of what happened, and we see how Peter connected with the prophet Joel, because there were a lot of these were Jewish people and people who had converted to Judaism. So they knew the prophecies, they knew the Old Testament, they knew what Joel had prophesied, and that he was making this connection for them to help see this is what Jesus said, or this is what the law has said was going to happen. This is what God has said, and look, it is happening. This is what you're witnessing. This isn't crazy stuff. This isn't a party going all night or whatever. But gives him, so we get to see this glimpse, and we get to see the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon Peter and all the believers. Right? It was all of them that were being able to speak and to share what they had seen and witnessed in their time with Jesus. If you remember last week, we did spend a couple minutes in the passage where the disciples added their 12, because they needed their 12. So when Jesus was on the earth with his disciples before his ascension, he was limited, right? He was limited in where he could be at any given time, because he still was human, right? So there were times he was going to one place, going to another place. He could speak something, but he could only be in one place. By his ascension to heaven and the sending of the Holy Spirit, he is with us and in us, in all believers, all at once. Amen. All over the world, which is amazing. And he sends them. It's Jesus with us. It's God with us, as we talk about that. So there's a, I wish it wasn't, there's a flower out front. It was one of the daffodils. It's been gorgeous for a couple weeks. It's finally starting to make its turn. But it's a daffodil that has three three blooms in one stem. Mm-hmm. And it's like a Trinity daffodil. Because it's one stem. I think it's just such a good picture of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But from one place, one will, one love that spoke creation
one
over
spirit.
The world. It, one spirit, absolutely. That comes in three persons, expressed in different ways, but share that will. And so it's like his, mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit in us is God in us, is
yes.
Jesus
yes.
in us. It is how yes. they are with us and in us all the time.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So.
Somebody was thinking ahead when they were.
About that, huh? That's pretty cool that way. So the word that's used here for advocate for the Holy Spirit is parakletos. It's like comforter, helper, guide. Like the Holy Spirit does all these things. It helps us. He helps us, but it helps us to stay connected. And will convict us, as the passage said. It's the word that's used there means convince, to help us see our sin or see ways that we are falling short, or see ways that, well, I can justify this, but am I really in line with what God is guiding me to do in this particular situation? And so, I don't know if you experience those nudges.
Mm.
I do. I think we all do sometimes, and we can pay attention to them,
mm.
or we can ignore them, right? Because
mm-hmm.
God still gives us free will.
Amen.
But he will guide us in truth.
If we let him.
If we let him, yeah. Not only about our world and what we see around us, but in our own hearts,
mm-hmm.
and in our own minds, and in our own lives. And it also says that he will share the future, a vision of what can be, right? So we think about that prophecy that Joel shared. David, in the next part of the passage, comes from Psalm 16, is talking about Jesus. But I even think about different points in my life. Like I remember back in 2014, had gone to a ministry conference with some people from our church, and I was buying like a set of all the videos and books and all the things, right? And so I was filling out this little form, and I was using my consulting business. I was using my consulting email, and I wrote down PMM Consulting. And as I wrote it, what popped into my head was the MMC was Mission and Ministry for Christ. And I'm like, what? Like, that was so crazy. But this was when I was still working 60 hours a week in my consulting business, a different kind of thing, but just like that glimpse. I'm like, what was that? Like, wonder what he means by it. Because I knew it was God. Like, at that point, like, I was connecting and walking in community. We were at a ministry conference. I'm like, what's he going to do with that? Like, I'm thinking he's going to, like, redo my business so I'm consulting for churches or something. No, it's even better. Like, I get to be here with you, right?
Amen.
But that was 2014. Like, who knew?
Amen.
That he would reorient my focus. So he is alive and present. So what does that mean for us today? So a couple weeks ago, last time we did the floodgate, there were just a couple of us upstairs, but we were talking about the passage that we read that same day, where the Holy Spirit guided Philip to go to a different place than he was going to go, so he could have this conversation. He's like, go up and talk to the eunuch who's in the chariot, and this conversation, and the Holy Spirit swooshes Philip out of there after the eunuch is
mm-hmm.
baptized.
Yeah.
Like after that happens, we're like, what was that? Like, how does the Holy Spirit work like that? And is it, is he really working in our lives to guide us, to change us? But it's fun to see those examples in Scripture where we see the Holy Spirit
moving.
I mean, in that case, like really moving,
really,
right? As in our passage today. But have you ever noticed, like, you're doing something and somebody comes to mind, and then they come to mind again, and you might shoot them a text. And they're like, oh, it's so good to hear from you. I'm really struggling,
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
Yeah.
Or maybe you've been in that, where you're just walking through a tough season, and just from out of nowhere, you get an encouragement from somebody that just, whoops, sorry, lifts your spirit. You know, those are, those nudges and things happen in our lives. So like as we pray and abiding in his word, he will guide us. Like we talk about a good shepherd, and he will bring, as we spend time in his word, he will bring those passages and those truths to mind. Like, he cares about the little details of our lives, like over and over again. There's a person in the church I've been having some conversations with, and there's this passage that just keeps popping up. I'm like, pay attention to it, pay attention to it. There is a truth here that God wants you to know, and he does that. I've shared the Matthew 11:28 passage when Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, in a season of my life that was really heavy and hard. And so I will sometimes, if I'm doing something or I'm overcommitted, I'll be like, ooh, things are feeling heavy. And I immediately go, wait a minute, what if I picked up and I'm carrying that isn't mine to be carrying? So he reminds us with his word as we're going about our days, if we're being in his word. And then when we notice, I'm like, ooh, that was I may not be able to tell you what passage it came from, but like, right. That is the truth from God's word. God, thank you for that nudge or that reminder. You wake up, sometimes I'll wake up with a song in my head, like a worship song. And I really pay close attention to the lyrics. I'm like, what is in these lyrics that he wants me to know? So a couple weeks ago, the worship team led us in Your Love, O Lord.
Yeah.
That reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the sky. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountain. So it goes on, and it was in my head all week. And then Thursday, a meeting got canceled, and I actually came down to the keyboard and was like playing a little bit. But I found the music for that song, and I'm like, oh my gosh. So fortunately, I was the only one here for everybody, but God heard me. As I spent time in this John passage, it's from his love, right, that Jesus is about to go to the Father. And he says his righteousness will come. And then he talks about the judgment. His justice will flow. I'm like, look at the parallels that he was making for me in preparation for the message this week. And just spending that time in worship, but paying attention and listening to those.
Beautiful.
Yes, he's sweet, and he really cares about the details of our lives and what we're walking through with our families, with work. A couple years ago, just before the pandemic, so it was 2020, it was during the pandemic, was preparing for a message at our church in Charlotte. And I was procrastinating, and I shared this with some of you, but I was I had been on Facebook, and our children's ministry leader was doing this this illustration for the kids on the Holy Spirit. And so she had just like a fan next to her with streamers. And so she turned on the fan, and the streamers would blow, and they like landed on her. And then she turned it off, so they weren't moving anymore, but the streamers were still on her. And she was showing how the Holy Spirit, as we think about the Holy Spirit as a wind or comes like a dove, like all the different ways in Scripture that we see the Holy Spirit represented. Mm. And I'm like, oh, that's so nice. Okay, let's get back to work. So back outside, I was working outside on my deck, and I sat down, like, okay, started to work, with like a little prayer, and then suddenly like this breeze came. And I'm like, oh, God, you're so good. Like, thank you for that. And then these two doves came and sat on the railing, and they literally just sat there, not moving, so still, completely still. And then after, I don't know, a minute, like they were there for a while, I'm like, wow, and they weren't that far from me, and I was just watching them, and then they took off and zoomed into the woods, and then you could hear them do their little woo, yeah. Right, that call that they do, the morning doves. And so that was just this little Holy Spirit connection. And so I was like, okay, get to work. And I went to close my browser window, and still Facebook was still open. And there was it was a passage from Isaiah. It says, returning in rest is your salvation. This one just said, in quietness and trust shall be your strength. So it was like those doves had just sat there, quiet and still. So again, it was just that connection between what he showed me, what his word says, and I just needed to be quiet and calm, to quiet my spirit so I could hear from him to work on the message that I was working on for our church that week.
It's hard.
It is hard. But if we will like notice some of those nudges, it's pretty great. So the doves kind of became a symbol in scripture for the Holy Spirit, but really became important for me in my life. And as I shared last week, we talked about that season where God gave me the word anchor because I needed to re-anchor in him because I dislodged it with everything else that was going on when we did our move in the middle of the pandemic. And the house that we lived in was only about a third of a mile from where we live now, but it was in a really quiet spot of the neighborhood, and the doves sang all day long. Like in this season of really needing to re-anchor and feeling like ripped up and things just trying to resettle again, but hearing the doves constantly for me were this personal reminder. But those are personal for me. So I ask you, what is it for you?
Mm-hmm.
What is it for you? Pay attention to ways that if you're listening to a passage or you're listening to a worship song or a message and something just lands on your heart or it's like brings a tear or just like brings up any kind of strong emotion like that, usually it's God's trying to get our attention. And if we can pay attention to that and then look at the patterns where, like I said, like this, he will bring passages to me, and it will be like everywhere I turn, it's like, here's the passage. Here's the, okay, what do you want me to know about this passage? Clearly it's something I need to do. But he guides us in truth with his word. And I remember we talked about how Peter stepped forward in obedience. A number of years ago, there was an opportunity that I had that was with my friend at the beach, and she knew I was walking through a hard time, and I've shared about this Kindred Spirit mailbox where there are journals and people would come and they would write down things that they wanted to release. They might write a prayer. They might write to the Kindred Spirit. And so she's like, you take whatever time you need. I'm out of here. And she turns and walks away. And I'm like, okay. So I grabbed the journal and I sat down on the bench that was this mailbox on the beach a mile down from civilization out of nowhere. And I sit down to write, and I remember from 8 years old learning the commandments, you will have no other God, you worship no other God besides me. So I'm like, I'm not writing to any spirit. If I'm writing to any spirit, I'm writing to God. And so that started for me my journey back to him, into relationship in a new way. But it was that remembrance of bringing his truth to mind that came in that moment in the midst of all of that. So what can we do to help grab hold of his power? Like knowing that like his Holy Spirit came and it comes on every believer as we receive him as Lord of our lives. So I just encourage you to spend some time connecting with God in prayer, right? In quiet, however that looks for you, whenever it can happen. And then just spend some time quiet listening too, not just in the things that we're asking or the word that we're in. There are lots of different disciplines that you can do to try and make yourself available to God. I'm trying to create some space for quiet and solitude, and I don't slow down very well. So I have this 12:50 alarm that rings every day. I'm like, well, maybe when I was in grad school, I did it for 30 minutes from 1 to 1:30. I'm like, okay, that's just not practical. So I have this 12:50 alarm. I'm like, maybe I could do 10 minutes from 12:50 to 1 o'clock. And if I have a 1 o'clock meeting or call, I can still do it. And I'm still trying, but trying to create those spaces where I stop and listen for what God might be saying. And then spend time in his word, devotions, obviously, time at church, people engaged in small groups, and pay attention to those nudges.
In the world.
Yeah. As we get those nudges to reach out to people, to maybe offer a helping hand when you're out somewhere and you see someone struggling, not about us, but about him, like listening for him to guide, right? I'm a compulsive fixer, so sometimes I can even go too far, but paying attention to those nudges and what is our attitude in those moments? What is our posture towards other people and towards God in the moments that we're in, and are we connecting? And then thinking about what he said, how he responds. And then finally, how we can join with him to let him transform us. He wants, as we become, as we grow closer and closer to him, the Holy Spirit will form us bit by bit by bit into the image of Jesus, right? We won't ever get it right this side of heaven, and it's not something we do ourselves. The Holy Spirit does it, but we take part. Like, he joins with us in it. You know, Lord, I am wrestling with this thing. I have this attitude towards this person that is really getting in my way, or I'm looking for the offense. That's not listening in love and engaging in love. Not that I'm even having that conversation with anybody else, but those are conversations that are in my head and my heart that I'm having with God. What about you? Are there places where you're struggling or wrestling or frustrated? He understands, and he's with us. His Holy Spirit lives in you, and the thing is, it's not dormant. You think of the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus when he was baptized. I mean, Jesus, God, but the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove, and then empowered the ministry forward. Like, he is constantly moving, constantly. He's in us, but it's not just like a stationary thing, like a, well, fingernails still grow too, but like a hand or something, like that's always there. Like, the Holy Spirit is there, but it's moving, and the more we connect with him, the more active it will be as we feed our spirit more than we feed our own wants and desires and fears and all of the pieces along. So just, I guess I just say, just know how much that he loves you.
Amen.
That he walks through the hard stuff with us every Amen. Step. He will empower us to do things that sometimes we feel like we can't do the next step, or we don't know. But he will. But he's with you. He's paying attention to all of the things that you're walking through. He understands. He loves and knows. Oh God, you are good and you are holy and mighty. You come as a powerful wind, as a gentle dove, as a quiet whisper. I think about Elijah went to hear from you. There was the wind, there was the fire, there were all of the earthquake, all of the loud things, but you came that time in a gentle whisper. Thank you that you come to us in so many different ways. Thank you that your spirit dwells in us, that you love us, that you understand everything that we walk through. Lord, we love you. We want to join with you in the work that you're doing in our lives, in our families, in our community, in this world, Lord. Lord, help us to humble ourselves, to surrender to your will. Like, we see Peter and others walking in obedience, trusting you. Help us to trust you so that we can obey. Help us to trust you and know that you are good and want to do the things that you want us to do and react the way you want us to react and respond the way you want us to respond. Thank you that you are with us, that you are, that you love us, that you empower us forward. Thank you for calling us your very own. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.